Word of God in Proverbs 11. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. With the lowly is wisdom. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. When a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish. The hope of unjust men perisheth. The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead. An hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. When it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth. When the wicked perish, there is shouting. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. He that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it. He that hateth suretyship is sure. A gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches. The merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. As righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. They that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are his delight. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him. A blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be servant to the wise of heart. Fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth, much more the wicked and the sinner. We read God's word that far, and the text for our sermon is verses 24 through 26. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat. He that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him. A blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, Prayer Day is a day connected with agriculture, farming, and the planting season. Our forefathers, many of whom were farmers, thought it wise in the springtime before they went out to plant their fields to meet together to worship God, to pray for His blessing upon the upcoming planting and growing season, and to express their dependence upon Him for their earthly needs. Even though today none of us here are farmers whose livelihood is directly tied to the earth, it's still beneficial for us to come together because we all are dependent upon God's provision for us through the earth, through the field, through the seed. Prayer Day then is not a day to reflect upon prayer generally. Sometimes our children think when we tell them we're going to church tonight. But the day is a day for us to come together and to express our dependence upon God for our daily bread. And to hear the Word of God as the Word of God addresses such things as daily bread, money, and work. The Word of God that we consider tonight addresses the subject of financial giving and generosity. The reason for preaching on a passage that addresses giving is not because there's some outstanding problem in the congregation in this respect. I believe that God has given to us as a congregation very generous, giving hearts. But while that's certainly the case, it's good for us yet to be reminded and encouraged in this area of the Christian life, just as it's necessary for us to be reminded and encouraged in every aspect of the Christian's walk of life. The Word of God tonight speaks of the subject of giving in a striking, memorable way. Text is seemingly paradoxical. It says that the one who scatters, who gives away generously what he has, is the one who himself increases. And the one who holds on and hoards what he has is the one who comes into poverty. Passage exposes the folly of the supposed wisdom of this world. The wisdom of this world would say to us, if you want to get ahead and you want to be wealthy and successful, it means that you have to hoard what you have. It means that you mayn't give away anything in a generous spirit, but look out only for yourself. The Word of God exposes that here as folly, and it sets before us the wisdom of God, which is the only true wisdom, which we believe and are called to live out by faith. We consider the Word of God tonight, taking as our theme the scattering that increases. First, let's consider the scattering. Secondly, the increase. And then, thirdly, the model. The text is setting forth positively the virtue of the child of God of being generous or charitable. And it sets that in contrast to a sinful, stingy spirit. The text speaks to that sinful stinginess by way of illustrations that were drawn from the agricultural life of God's Old Testament people. First of all, in verse 24, it says, "There is that withholdeth more than is meet." And the figure there in verse 24 is of a farmer who's about to plant his field. Back then, they didn't have multi-million dollar planters that planted all their crops in nice perfect rows. But a farmer would go through the field and by hand scatter the seed throughout his field. And the figure negatively there is of a foolish farmer who somehow thinks he's going to gather in this great harvest, even though he's hoarding all of his seeds, and he refuses to scatter them liberally throughout his field. And then, another agricultural illustration in verse 26, he that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him. And the idea there is a person who has stockpiles of grain in a time of poverty and famine for others, and others don't have anything, but instead of giving to them or even selling to them, he's going to hold on to it, drive up the price of grain so that he can make a killing in the market, make huge profits on the grain that he has. But his concern is only for himself. By those illustrations, the Word of God is addressing a sinful spirit with respect to giving. That's the attitude whereby we hold on tight to the things that we have and refuse to lessen our grip on them and to give them away in a generous, charitable fashion. Maybe it's the case that we don't give at all. We don't think about giving, or we think about giving, but we refuse to give. Maybe it's the case that we give, but we give sporadically, or we give in a way that's not proportionate to what God has given to us. What stands behind a sinful spirit with respect to giving may be a heart of selfishness. That's the illustration of that man who had stockpiles of grain but refused to sell it or to give it away to those who are in need. His concern was only for himself. And then corresponding to that, inseparably connected to that, was a spirit of materialism. Concern of that man was only for material gain, material things. And there's a danger for us in that respect as well. There's the danger of selfishness, where our concern is only about ourselves and only about our own advancement. There's a danger corresponding to that of materialism, where in our concern about ourselves, the concern is about our own earthly enjoyment or earthly profit and success. What may also lay behind sinful stinginess is a lack of trust in God, but rather a trust in money and in riches. Verse 28 says, he that trusteth in his riches shall fall. If I am loath to give, what that says about my heart is that very likely my trust is in these earthly things. I'm concerned about my future, if I'm going to have enough for myself in the future, or I'm concerned about my success and profitability in the future and think that by giving this away that's going to hinder these things that I'm trying to accomplish financially. But I've tied my happiness, or I've tied my sense of safety and security for the future in these earthly things, and therefore I'm going to hold on tight to them and refuse to give generously. The Word of God forces each of us to look at our own hearts. And this is a matter of the heart. Notice verse 25 speaks of the liberal soul, saying that this is not just a matter of finances, it's not a matter of budgeting, it's a matter of the soul, it's a matter of the heart. Where is our heart at? What is it that stands behind our giving or our lack of giving? Is it the case that in my heart, there is a spirit of selfishness, concerned only about myself? Is it the case that in my heart there's a spirit of materialism where my life is wrapped up in earthly things and the accumulating of earthly things? Is it the case that in my heart I'm not trusting in God to provide for my needs in the future, but I've put all of my confidence in possessions and in money for my happiness or my security? That is true of us. Then let this Word of God break that sinful spirit in us, lead us to genuine repentance and turning from those sins with respect to earthly things. Text warns against a sinful withholding. Positively, it sets before us a virtue of the Christian, one perhaps that we don't right away think of when we think of Christian virtues, but nevertheless an important Christian virtue, that of being charitable and generous. Text is speaking of that really throughout. Verse 24 is representative. There is that scattereth, and the idea is the giving of what we have to others generously. And while this passage can certainly be applied to other kinds of generosity, to being liberal in the use of our time and energy for others, or in other use of our gifts, the Word of God is specifically addressing financial giving. This passage here in Proverbs is alluded to in the New Testament in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, where the Apostle Paul is giving instruction to the church with respect to their giving. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 and 7. "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." We give financially in support of a number of aspects of the church and the kingdom of God. We give to the benevolent fund in order to provide for those who are poor and in need. Give to the general fund regularly, which is the means by which we support the ministry of the gospel, the ministry of the gospel in our own church, but then beyond that, the support of missionaries and the support of seminary professors and seminary students. We're supporting the ministry of God's Word here and abroad. We give generously for the support of Christian education through tuition and collections and the various drives that are held, and for all the different other causes of God's kingdom for which we collect. That giving on the part of the Christian arises out of faith, as do all of the good works of the child of God. In faith, we trust that God is the one to provide. Our confidence is not in our wealth and in our investments for the future. We don't tie our happiness to those earthly things. We don't find our security for the future in them. But by faith, we trust in God alone. Every day we're to live that way, in total dependence upon God for all of our needs, spiritual as well as physical. And with our confidence in God, then, we're free to give for the causes of God's kingdom. We don't need to hold on so tightly to those things as if our supply of our needs for the future is dependent upon our tight hold on them. But we can give these things away freely, trusting in God to provide for our needs in the future. Passage here indicates a number of the characteristics of our giving. One of those characteristics is generosity, being charitable. In verse 24, the word translated scattereth is a word that carries the idea of such a scattering that a person would almost call it reckless, careless. The farmer that went out into his field with a bag of seed wasn't going to just scatter a few seeds here and there, but he was going to distribute them broadly, a person might say, almost recklessly and carelessly. And what's conveyed there is the spirit of generosity, the willingness to give, to open up our hands and to open up our hearts, give for the sake of others who are in need. Another characteristic of giving that's indicated in the text is that it's sacrificial. In what it says there in verse 26 about the person that withholds corn and then the blessing upon the head of him that sells it. In the circumstances of famine, where others are in need and a person himself happens to be sitting on a stockpile of grain, for that person to give it away, even to sell it to others, meant a hurt to himself. If he'd hold on to it, he could drive up the prices and he could make massive profits for himself, but to give it away or even to sell it at that point meant a financial sacrifice for him. And again, what's conveyed there is the idea of sacrifice. Whether we're poor or we're rich, it's a matter that's proportionate to what God has given to us, so that when we give, there is a sense in which that giving comes at a cost to us. It's not always comfortable. It's not always easy. It means a sacrifice on our part in order to provide for another. And then the passage indicates as well that our giving is to be cheerful and generous. And that's indicated in verse 25. When it refers to the liberal soul, and literally that's the soul of blessing. And what's being indicated there is this is the soul of a person that desires to be a blessing to someone else. The liberal soul, the soul that gives, arises out of a heart that wants to bless another, do good to another, be an advantage to them. What's conveyed there is the spirit of willingness and cheerfulness, not giving out of cold, bare necessity. But as 2 Corinthians 9, which we just read, indicates, God loves a cheerful giver. One of the main points of emphasis in this passage is to serve as an encouragement to God's people in their giving by setting before us the promised increase. And that's set over against a warning with respect to sinful stinginess. The warning is of poverty. Verse 24, there is that withholdeth more than is meat, but it tendeth to poverty. That's a basic law in God's creation. The farmer who thinks that he's going to gain this large harvest by hoarding his seeds in the barn is quickly going to come to poverty. And then verse 26, he that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him. He might find for a time that by holding on selfishly to everything that he has, that he's going to come out ahead of his neighbors. But the Word of God indicates there that he's going to learn the hard way the truth of Proverbs 22, verse 1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. The warning of the passage is not to be understood in material terms. We'll see that again when we speak to the positive encouragement of the text. But the soul is indicating that the one who sinfully withholds is going to experience as a consequence a poverty spiritually. He's going to experience a kind of leanness in his own soul. That makes sense when we remember that this is not simply a matter of economics. It's not a matter of finance and budgeting and merely the number that a person writes on a check. It's a spiritual matter. What stands behind this, we've already seen, is a spirit of selfishness or materialism or a lack of trust in God. God is not going to bless that sinful spirit. A person who's characterized by selfishness, materialism, or lack of trust in God is not going to find his spiritual life flourishing, but is going to experience, under the chastening hand of God, spiritual leanness. In addition to that, the Word of God indicates here that this person is not serving as a blessing to others. By selfishly holding on to what he has, he's not promoting the welfare of his neighbor. He's not serving in order to build up and promote the kingdom and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is intended to serve as a warning. He that withholds sinfully, it tendeth to poverty. Again, that warning ought to serve to reveal to us our own sins, failures in this regard, and ought to serve to lead us in genuine repentance and turning. It's the negative with respect to a warning of this sin of withholding, but the emphasis of the text is primarily positive, setting before us the promised increase. Verse 24, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth. Verse 25, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Verse 26, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. Again, the interpretation of the passage is not to be made in purely materialistic terms. God in his providence may be pleased to give to a generous soul more earthly things to be a steward of. But the passage is not a guarantee, as health and wealth prosperity preachers would say, that the more you give, you can be absolutely sure the more you're going to increase. So that's the kind of sales pitch that's given. Keep giving generously, and usually it's to this own person, and God's going to make you a millionaire. God is sovereign. In his providence, he may be pleased to give to some in abundance, to steward. But it may be the case that another generous soul doesn't have nearly as much. The Word Word of God is speaking to is a spiritual kind of flourishing. God is pleased to cause the generous soul of the child of God to continue to flourish. That's the Word of God in the New Testament in Acts chapter 20. Verse 35, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Think of how spiritually profitable that is for the child of God. By giving away what God has given to us, that serves to wean us off our selfishness. It serves to wean us off our materialism and our attachment to this world. By giving away what God has entrusted to us, we have our own faith strengthened as we come to see we depend upon God for our earthly needs and not our own wisdom and ingenuity. It's been rightly said that the giver does 1,000 times more good to himself even than he does to the one that he's giving to. In addition to that, God is pleased to use our giving to be a blessing to others, to serve for the advantage of another. When we give to a person in need, to the poor, God's pleased to use that for the benefit and for the advantage of our neighbor. God's pleased to use our giving for the cause of His church and His kingdom in the midst of this world, to make it possible to send forth the gospel to the ends of the earth, to build up established churches, to instruct covenant youth. God's pleased to use our giving to be a blessing to others and to His kingdom as a whole. It certainly is undeserved. It's unmerited. This isn't a matter of something that we've done and then we merit this with God. This is a blessing entirely of His grace. God in His grace has been pleased to give us what we have. God's been pleased in His grace to give us generous hearts that are ready to give. God in His grace is pleased to bestow His blessing upon that as well. The purpose of the Word of God is that this serve further to encourage us in this aspect of the Christian life. As the Scriptures throughout speak of the subject of rewards, the purpose of that is to further encourage the child of God, especially in light of the difficulties that we face in the Christian life. And certainly there are difficulties in this area of the Christian life. There are fears that we might have with respect to giving. There are our own sinful hearts and impure motives that we can have even when we are giving generously. We need encouragement in this area of the Christian walk, and the purpose of the Word of God is to give that encouragement. There is a scattering that increases. The liberal heart himself shall be made fat. A person who waters will find that he himself is watered. And the people will speak a word of blessing upon the head of him that generously sells what he has to others in need. Be encouraged then by the promise of the Word of God. There's a scattering that increases under the blessing of God. The Word of God speaks that way indicates that there is a scattering that increases because that resembles and exemplifies who God is Himself. God is the God who gives generously, even sacrificially, and the fruit of that is an unbelievable increase. God is not a stingy God. We may never conceive in our minds of God being that way. The Word of God makes plain that God is abundant in His blessings upon His church. He's lavish in His mercy that He shows to His own in the Lord Jesus Christ. His love higher than the heights of heaven and deeper than the depths of the sea. In the right sense, God is liberal. He's lavish. He's generous. He's abundant in His mercy and His goodness and His grace to us. And the supreme demonstration of that is, of course, the cross of our Savior, where God gave what is supremely precious, His own dear Son. He gave generously. He gave sacrificially. And the Lord Jesus Christ Himself gave that way. He did not come into this world seeking His own with His concern only about Himself, but He came into this world in order to give on our behalf. And He gave everything. What serves to magnify the lavishness of that grace is the fact that we are undeserving recipients of it. God is the true friend of the poor. That is, we poor sinners, indebted infinitely before God on account of our sins, and then in that low estate, with no love for God, but only hatred for Him, such is our natural spiritual condition. And yet for us, great debtors, God gave lavishly, without our earning anything, without our deserving it at all. And the fruit of that lavish scattering is an increase, the rich harvest of the elect church that's gathered in. It's the rich wealth of spiritual blessings that all of God's people know and enjoy in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a scattering that increases. Supremely so of our Heavenly Father who gave so graciously for us to our advantage. This alone is the motive that drives the life of the Christian in every area, including in our giving. On account of our sin, we have so many impure motives in our hearts. We mentioned some of them, if it's the case that we're not giving or not giving as we should. But there can be impure motives that we have even when we do give, and we give generously. It could be the case that our motives are shot through with self-righteousness, that we view these external aspects of the Christian life as making us worthy of salvation or some blessing of salvation. It can be the case that our motives are shot through with a sinful spirit of ostentation. We want others to notice what we've done. We want them to acknowledge our generosity. The motive of our giving must be gratitude for what God has done to us in Christ. We've referenced several times already 2 Corinthians, both in chapter 8 and 9, the apostles giving instruction about giving. And in both of those chapters, he grounds it in what Christ has done for us. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." Knowing what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, that drives the Christian in every area of his Christian walk, including in this narrow area of his giving. How important then that be remembered by us and that live in our hearts. If in examining our own life we see failure and weakness here, what stands behind that is that we've lost sight of, in some way, the lavishness of God's grace and His mercy to us. What an awful thing that is when that's true of us. How necessary it is then for us again and again and again, over and over, to be reminded of what God has done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can never hear that too often. As the gospel sets before us the riches and the bounties of God's grace to us in Christ, that serves to fill our hearts with thanks. Remember, believe, the riches of the mercy of God to you and the unspeakable sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on your behalf. And in thanks for that scattering that increases, ready yourself then to give for the sake of God's church and God's kingdom. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we're thankful for the wonders of Thy love. Without height or depth or breadth, we're thankful for the riches of Thy grace. We pray for the application of that to our hearts by Thy Holy Spirit, and we pray that that might serve to fill us with thanks, and that thanks might be what drives our life before Thee, our life in Thy church. Pray, Father, that Thou wilt continue to grant to us generous hearts, readiness to give, and be pleased to use that for our own spiritual instruction and for the good of others and for the extension Thy kingdom and the glory of Thy name. Graciously forgive all of our sins. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We pray that you were edified by the preaching of the gospel today. Please join us for worship if you are ever in the area. For more information about our church, beliefs, or worship times, please visit our website at prccrete.org.